part of the population of the world, and most importantly, as members of the body of Jesus Christ. So what do we talk about? How do we discuss so many things that are going on, especially the controversial things? And it doesn't take long to get a discussion, and even a discussion that many times will work into an argument about what's going on. This whole election season has been a disaster as far as relationships, people getting along, strife, stress, just all of the things that have people pushed to the limit. I know I was talking with someone earlier, and we thought up in Frankenmuth, because that's where we stayed for the feast, and we thought, well, this is going to be great, that we'll have the town to ourselves. There's really not going to be anybody here. And boy, were we wrong. I mean, people were out in droves. I think they were like the rest of us. They were tired of the backyard and their basement. They wanted to get out and enjoy life. And they did. And I mean, it was nice to see. Beautiful weather and people just out enjoying life and having a good time. And we certainly appreciated that. Got a little crowded in some of the stores, which was good for me because I could say, Barb, let's go outside, it's too crowded. She went with me. So that was good. But other than that, I mean, it was great. Fellowship, the messages, just everything was really great. But I just noticed that the people were hungry to get out. A lot of families and just enjoying themselves together. So the question still was on my mind, what in the world, what can we do? What can you and I do? Of all people, what can you and I do that will make a difference? And what you and I can do is trust God. And that's the title of my message today, Trust God. Because we see the world doesn't. The world doesn't trust God. The world doesn't even recognize God in many, many areas. I know the last election cycle at the one convention by one of the parties, they wouldn't even recognize God on their platform. How can that be? How can that be in this country? But that's what it is. And now we have before us a lot of unknowns. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with this virus? What's going to happen with the economy, with everything in our future? Well, the only sure way to get through the hard times, the difficult times, the unknown times, is to trust God. And brethren, that's what we need to do above everything, is to trust God and rely on Him. He's got us this far. He's called us out of captivity. He's blessed us with so much knowledge that one day He will bless the world with. But that knowledge, that gift, has kept us from the stress levels that the world is dealing with right now, because we know that God is in charge. God will take care of me and you and His church. He always has, He always will. We don't have to doubt that at all. But we do have to acknowledge that. We have to accept that and understand that. Because it's so important to let our Heavenly Father know we trust You. We get it. You know, when we were a child and our parents would teach us right from wrong, we trusted them. They know. They love us. They want us to do the right thing. They want us to grow up balanced. They taught us to be thankful. They taught us to trust them. because they had our best interest at heart. They wanted only good things for us. My son today happens to be my oldest son's 50th birthday, and I'm too young to have a 50-year-old. Of course, my daughter turned 50 2 years ago, so I should be used to it. But I just was thinking how quickly that time has gone. And I wrote him a little letter just letting him know, you know, where did our time go? Where did my little boy go? It's gone so fast. I wonder if that's how God looks at you and I, as his children. He wants us to stay innocent. He wants us to depend on him, to not go off on a tangent by ourselves or to become, you know, too smart in our own eyes, but to trust him. Trust is even more important when we grow into adulthood. Having respect for other people. Respecting others goes a long way in our relationships, with our bosses, with our schoolmates, with our neighbors. God the Father, through Jesus Christ, has given us the perfect example of trust. Jesus Christ, all through the Bible, all through his experiences, always expressed the trust he had in his Heavenly Father. That was for you and I. That was for us to learn from. As God's people, we look around and we're saddened. I'm so sad to see what people are doing to each other, against one another. Just the disagreements that turn into hatred. No compromise, no nothing. It's my way or the highway. And that's a sad place for all of us to be. And we see it. Hatred is growing with a vengeance. So many people want things their own way and are unwilling to trust anyone or to compromise at all. Matthew 24:12 says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Take down the boundaries. Take away any respect or consideration for your fellow man. Only what I want is important. And see how far that gets us. We see how far that gets us in our world today. All of the strife and hatred. Letting someone know you trust them has become very difficult or impossible. I remember when I was a kid, and I remember hearing stories as I grew up about people making deals with each other on a handshake. Their word, their handshake was their bond. You trusted that. They told you something, that's the way it was going to be. You didn't question it. Okay, that's the deal. We'll go with it. And you had that trust. And you built that friendship. You built that deal, that agreement on that trust. So how did mankind, how did our neighbors, how did our world get to a place of such disrespect and selfishness? How did we get here? And is there anything you and I can do? Because we're really a very, very small, small group. But is there anything we can do to make a difference? Absolutely, there is. And it doesn't take much effort at all. It takes commitment. It takes trust. Trust in God. And what we do is, because of our trust in God, because of our love and respect for our Creator, what words come out of our mouth? What actions we do says it all. It says it all. We're not fighting with our neighbor over politics, hopefully. We're not posting things on the internet that of all kinds of our opinion. This is what I think ought to happen. And if you don't agree with it, you're just wrong. We don't do those things. Why? Because God doesn't do those things. And we want to be more and more like our Heavenly Father, like our elder brother. So we don't get into those things. God's in charge. We either trust Him or we don't. It's as simple as that. I trust Him when I'm sick and I want to be anointed. I trust Him to heal me. I trust Him when our family members are going through something. I trust Him to get us through it. Have an election coming up. I trust Him to know that He knows what He's doing. It'll work out exactly as God wants it to work out. I don't have to do a thing. Pray. Thy will be done. And then trust Him, as I do everything else. Because, brethren, we have to trust God. Take a look back on our lives since our calling. How many times has God been there for us? Sometimes when we didn't even ask, He was there for us, wanting the best for us, helping us get through a tough time. You and I, along with others in the body of Christ, can and must be the ones who set the right example. We have to. We have to. We can't be a part of the problem. I was out in the backyard the other day and the neighbor happened to come over and she was talking and she's stressed because of what's going on. And I did a good thing. I was a good little neighbor because she said, I don't know how you voted, but I voted this way. Well, it wasn't the way if I voted, it wasn't the way I would have voted. But, my opinion doesn't matter. It's not important. Because I trusted God, and I can't take that back. But I just was thinking how stressed out she is, and how thankful I am that God has given us that peace that only He can give, that only Jesus Christ can give to us. In Matthew 5, if you turn there, Matthew 5, an important key to trusting God. God tells us to do something. Do we do it? Or do we find excuses and a way around it? So let's read this, Matthew 5 and verse 43. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Man. And in verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? The world does that. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Different. To be different than the world, to not argue, to not insist on things being done my way, but to trust God when He tells us here to love your neighbor or your enemy. Because that's so important. You know, at one time, you and I were enemies of God because we were part of the world, and that was our choice. I want to be part of the world. Then God opened our mind to understand that's not right, that's wrong. God's not my enemy. But God is making a point here to love our enemies. And we do that by trusting Him, that this is in our good. This is best for us. In John 17, if you turn there with me, John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And in verse 20. Again, this example of love for us. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, before He was crucified, had a lot on His mind. A lot more than we can ever imagine. But what did He do here? He's thinking about you and me in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. In John 17 and verse 20, it says, I do not pray for these alone, talking about the disciples, talking about those who were following Him at that time. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, and I are in me, and I in you, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you give me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. What an amazing prayer, brethren. You know, we read that at Passover time. But it's so important, shows that love that God has for us, and that we can trust Him. We can call on Him. We can ask Him for protection, asking for wisdom and insight. How do we deal with these times that are taking place in the world? Times we never thought or did any more than thought about. We could read the prophecies and see bad things were coming. But the virus is only part of that. The virus, really, we can deal with. It's everything that goes with it. The hatred, the violence that goes along with it. Not trusting our God. Not knowing what to do as our leaders many times just stand there because they don't know what to do. Man's solution is not God's solution. And we certainly know God can handle anything. So by our example of trusting God as much as humanly possible, people can see, brethren, there's something different about us. We don't get into the conversations, the negative conversations, or the name calling, or the backbiting. And they may not want to understand exactly what it is, but we will show our fruits. And by our fruits, they will know something's different. Something's totally different here. Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his deeds, by whether what he does is pure and right. And we see that in our children. A little child that's exceptionally polite, quiet, cleans up after themselves, after all the toys and stuff. We notice that. Doesn't make them any better than any other child, just they're a little different. Apparently the parents taught them well. But they do things a little different that's noticeable. And they didn't do it to be noticed. We just noticed it. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Very familiar scripture, but very important. Galatians 5 and verse 22. Let's start at verse 19. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Very clear, brethren, that's not anything that you and I should be a part of. But it goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit that sets us apart is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. All of these things, all of these godly traits is what sets us apart. People want the peace and joy that the fruit of God's Spirit produces. And brethren, we can be an example of that. They can see it in us. They can see that we're not part of all of the negativism that's going on, all of the hatred that's going on. We may not like some of the things that are happening, but where do we turn? We turn to our Creator God. Always remember Mr. Waterhouse. There would be something going on in the church. And he would always say, you know what? Somebody ought to tell God. He may not know this is happening. You know, and God knows. He knows what we're dealing with. He knows what's happening. And we can trust him. What about if a person, and I used this example not too long ago, but what if a person came up to us and gave us a gift of $1 million tax-free? Would that buy our trust? Could that sway us just a little bit? You know, there used to be a show on TV called Millionaire. And that's what the show was about. This millionaire would pick somebody at random and give them $1 million tax-free. The only stipulation was they could never tell how they got the $1 million. And I just waited and waited for that knock on my door that never came. But God, on the other hand, gives priceless gifts. Gives those gifts to people who want them. And he has them to share with anyone willing to listen to where those gifts come from. And the great thing is God will never ask us to forfeit any of his gifts, any of his blessings. Now we could make the decision to give them back, but that isn't God's decision or desire. He gave us those blessings and gifts because he loves us, because he wants to take care of us. He wants us to trust him in every situation. Trusting and thanking God every day for the gifts he gives us is part of loving and respecting our Creator. Our mom and dad taught us, please and thank you. And that's how we need to approach God. Please, Heavenly Father, I need you. And thank you. Thank you for being there. When we approach God's throne on our knees in prayer, we trust that He'll hear us. That He will hear our prayers, our joy, and He'll hear our pain as we come before His throne. Letting Him know, we don't know how to resolve this. We don't know what's going on, but Father, You do. You do, and help me to understand. Help me not to become part of the problem, but help me to first, as we're told in Matthew 6, seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness above everything. But to trust Him. When we sit down to a meal, we thank God. We ask a blessing on the food, thanking Him for what He's provided. This food and this drink for us to enjoy. And we also ask and we trust Him to please provide the daily bread for those less fortunate. Because we respect God. We trust Him. Because we want to be like Him. So important. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And in verse 16, James chapter 1, and in verse 16. You know, the world can think what it wants, but Scripture tells us how it is, the truth. In verse 16, it says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Everything good, everything worthwhile comes from God. And trusting God should be a part of our daily routine. Because that's who we are. We are the children of God, as Scripture tells us. Do we trust our Heavenly Father? Because it's very easy for any of us to begin to think we're smarter and more deserving than we are. We have to stay focused. We have to continue that strong relationship with God. In John chapter 8, if you turn there with me, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And in verse 37. John chapter 8. And in verse 37. This is what Jesus Christ faced. This is what He had to deal with. But it's an example for you and I. It's nothing new. Satan's always been around, and he will be until he's dealt with. But he's been around to cause confusion, division, anger, all of the things. And Jesus Christ spoke about that because He was being challenged. In John 8 and in verse 37, here He's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees here. He says, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." And they answered and said to Him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Why aren't you like your father? Why are you doing exactly the opposite of what he did? That was his question to them. And he goes on in verse 40, but now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? And he goes on to answer that, because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Pretty heavy words there. Pretty tense conversation. Certainly would not want to have that conversation with Jesus at all. He trusted his heavenly Father. He didn't doubt it. He didn't doubt his word. He didn't doubt that his Father heard him and would take care of him. So amazing. But here the very Son of God was challenged. Who are you? And I think Christ would tell us the same thing. You say, you claim, you're the body of Jesus Christ, and yet you don't believe me? You don't trust me? How would we answer that? Luke 17, if you turn there. Luke 17. Luke 17. And in verse 11, an example we've read about, we've heard about, but it's very important here because it has to do with trust. It has to do with recognition. It has to do with being thankful. Chapter 17 and verse 11 says, now it happened as he, Christ, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that they went, they were cleansed. They ask Christ for something and he did it. He did it. But then in verse 15, it says, now one of them, one out of the 10, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except the foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your trust, your dedication has made you well. Your belief, your faith. What an example, brethren. How many times has God done something for us when we cried out to him, Father, I need you. I need this. and he's been there for us, and he's done it. Have we always made sure we've went back and thanked him, that we showed proper etiquette and proper love and respect and trust for our God who heard our cry and our prayer? Again, all kinds of examples throughout the Bible. The Israelites, just example after example of not trusting God, not being thankful, not being appreciative. Let's turn to Numbers 11. Numbers chapter 11. You know, we read so many times of the Israelites complaining, not cheering on Moses or Aaron or God, but just complaining. Man, I got to do this or I got to do that. I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. And they set that example. And all of these examples, brethren, in the Bible are for you and I to learn from. And we see this, and hopefully we all learn from it. I have to check myself. Don't complain. I've got it pretty good. But I have to remember why I have it pretty good. Probably never will hear that doorbell ring from the millionaire, but I still got it pretty good. But in chapter 11 and verse 1, here it talks about the Israelites. And it begins when they were complaining. And it says, now when the people complained, it's the way it starts, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Some didn't make it through that complaining period there. God dealt with him right now. He was angry because of that. He was displeased with that. When are you people going to trust me? What do I have to do? And in verse 2 it said, then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. God listened. But Moses knew where he had to go. The people actually did, because they told Moses, go to God and tell him to stop. And Moses did. But was that enough? Was that enough for him? But they go on to say, who will give us meat to eat? And in verse 5, says, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except the manna before our eyes. The perfect food, the gift from God. Not enough. Man, somebody throw me a cheeseburger. I mean, they just are not satisfied. Want something more. And in verse, we drop down to verse 12. It says, did I conceive all these people? Moses is talking to God, because his last nerve has been dealt with. He's pretty much at his wit's end. So he says, did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all of these people? For they weep all over me saying, give us meat that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Moses was doing everything he could do. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. God provided the people with what they were craving. Food, meat. Give them meat. And God did. But Moses said in verse 15, he says, "If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness." Moses was fed up with himself. He knew that there were issues with people's trust. God did what they said. You know, in this country, we're blessed to have an abundance of just about anything we want. Even in this time of difficulty, we have pretty much everything we want. But just like our forefathers who complained, we can find ourselves doing the same thing. Nothing worse than going to the Costco when you're out of toilet paper, right? Doesn't get any worse than that. How am I going to live? What am I going to do? We made it. But we remember in the book of 1 Samuel, the Israelites were being taken care of. They had everything they needed. God was providing everything. Everything. But their trust in him just didn't grow. Didn't grow. They demanded. They called Samuel and demanded to have a king. And you know their reasoning for having a king? Very complicated reason for having a king. Because they wanted to be like everybody else. That was their reasoning. So we can be like everybody else. Thank you, God, that we're not like everybody else, should have been their cry. But it wasn't. You know, we have demonstrations and riots taking place all around the world. People want change. People want change because they don't trust the way they're governed. They don't trust the police. They don't trust the judges. They want change. During all of these demonstrations, and I shouldn't even call them demonstrations, but riots, I saw one demonstration asking people to repent and trust God. One demonstration. To give God thanks for all he has already provided. It's amazing. You know, we just finished keeping the feast in the eighth day. Coming before God and worshiping him in the way that he wants to be worshiped. Not doing it our way, but doing it God's way. We're here on God's holy Sabbath day to honor and worship him the way he wants to be worshiped. We're not creating our own doctrines. We're not doing things our way. We're doing it God's way. You know, over the years since God first called me, I've had to learn to be thankful and to trust God. And many of you, I'm sure, have had to do the same thing. It's a process. Trust. Because he will never fail us. He will always be there. We're in the midst of a very challenging time for the whole human race. You know, it's not just our country, but it's the whole human race all across this world. And Satan is using his deadly arsenal, trying desperately to bring God's plan and God's church to an end. Again, for a reason that's not really complicated. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be the boss. That's the reason. My way. I want to do it my way. No compromise, no nothing. So we see where people get it from. Where does that attitude come from? Well, here's the source. And we see it all the time. Let's turn to Ephesians 6, if you would. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's never been more true than today. We see it. We don't only read it or hear about it. We see it today, brethren. Just look around at what's going on. There are so many unexplained things happening today. You scratch your head because you can't believe something that came out of somebody's mouth or an action that somebody did. And you're just shaking your head. I don't believe that. Our government leaders are making many major decisions that are contrary to God's laws and calling them good. Where did we read about that? Didn't God tell us that was going to happen? I think Jesus Christ did in his prophecy in Matthew. He told us these times were coming like this. Prophets have told us this for years and years and years, and we read it in several different chapters of the Bible. Evil, good, and good, evil. Isaiah 5, Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 5, talking about yesterday, today, and tomorrow in our lives, talking about 2020, talking about 2021, and on, in verse Isaiah 5 and in verse 20, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mightily at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Wow. All because the lack of trust in our Creator God. We become to think that we're so much wiser. People in leadership positions don't make damaging, hurtful decisions without negative spiritual influence. This doesn't happen. We of all people must never lose sight of Satan's plan and determination of our total, total destruction. You know, it's been difficult over the past months for people to maintain an attitude of thankfulness and trust for anything, even for people in the church. I've seen things written. I've heard conversations. And brethren, we can't allow that. We can't allow that to happen. Because all of the negative things going on around the world can take a toll even on God's people. It has in the past, and it certainly will in the future. Thankfully, Paul and Silas gave us an example of trusting God in a terrible and stressful situation. Can you imagine? Let's turn to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. I just think, what would I have done other than whine like a little baby, scared to death? But they weren't. Acts 16 and verse 25. Acts 16 and 25. And Paul and Silas are in prison here. Actually in a prison with inside a prison. Now that's high security. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Isn't that amazing? I just amazed every time I read that. But singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You know, they're probably listening. Yeah, what's wrong with these guys? Can you imagine, though? No, but that's the example I'm talking about. People noticed. Other prisoners, hardcore criminals, noticed these guys. And were listening. What's going on? How come they're not angry like we are and upset like we are? But they listened. And it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, and so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. I guess he figured he might as well do it because his boss is going to do it. Might as well be by my hand. But can you imagine the panic that set in on this guy? What's going on? But then he heard a voice. He heard Paul holler out with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we're all here. And then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. I guess I would too. Because this ain't normal. This is not what should be happening. And he brought them out and said, sirs, that amazes me too. You got these two convicts, and he said, sirs. He's very respectful. What must I do to be saved? He saw that example. He heard what they were doing. And by their example, this guy's, he's seeing something amazing. And so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Again, amazing. He's nursing them, taking care of their injuries. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And why did he do that? Because he saw the trust that Paul and Silas had for God. He saw that example. I haven't heard of any church members so far being locked up for what they believe. I haven't heard any church members being prevented from worshiping God. You know, and after reading this example, I don't think if I was in a conversation with some of the disciples that, and they were telling me about what they went through and how they were treated, all of the challenges, all of the trials, the beatings, the hunger, all of that they went through. I don't know as I would bring up about what we had to go through. What did you and I have to go through? The biggest inconvenience is we had to wear a mask. And I just don't know how they would take that. You were beaten. You were locked up. Let me tell you what happened to us. Had to wear a mask. Had to sing with it on too. Brethren, we've got it made. God's taking care of us. He's always going to take care of us. That's what he does. He wants us to trust him. Challenge him. Prove him. So as I wondered what to give a message on, trust came to mind. And I thought, you know, if no other time in man's history has there been a more important time to trust God than now. We don't only know what's going on in our little region, our little town, but we know what's going on around the whole world. We see, we don't just hear, we see the whole world is in trouble. We know what's going to happen if this world doesn't repent. If it doesn't turn to God and trust God and quit trusting in itself. But you and I can set that example as Paul and Silas were doing. They weren't doing that to set an example for anybody. But when other people saw what they were doing, look at these guys. How much they love and trust God. What a difference that made for the jailer and his whole family. How can our actions make a difference for someone, for our families, for our neighbors, for people we don't even know? Well, things are probably going to get worse before it gets better. And brethren, the only solution, the only one to trust is God. We can do everything we can do as Christians, as children of God. We can pray. We can love each other. We can be there for one another and to serve one another as we serve God. And that means not only within the church, but outside of the church as well. To be a good person, a serving person. We see someone in need, we help. We're there. But our attitude is so most important that we don't allow negativism to be part of who we are. Are we going to get down? Are we going to get stressed? Yep, we will. Because sometimes the day just doesn't go right. But who can pull us back from that? And I think I've shared that with you. I've had to do a do-over many times. When I prayed in the morning and got up and I knew my day was not going good, and the only reason it wasn't going good is because of me, I had to go in and do a prayer over. To just, let's start this again. Thank you, God. Because I knew the direction I was going in wasn't the best for me or anybody else. And I wasn't trusting God as I asked him in my prayer, Father, I trust you today. Guide and direct me. And he will. I just wasn't being cooperative. So, brethren, let's think about that. Let's think about trusting God more than anything else in our lives. I remember someone talking about Mr. Armstrong letting the church down, and I thought, well, that's pretty harsh. How did he let the church down? He said he died. He was a human being. He died. So have a lot of other dedicated, righteous people. But our lives are temporary. God's is eternal. And he's offered that to you and I. So let's trust him in everything we do, from the tiniest thing to the biggest thing. Let's put our trust in God. And we'll continue to fight the good fight by trusting God.